Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to The Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined today by Howie.
It's just me tonight, and you.
And Bobby won't make it tonight. He had his schedule changed on him at the last minute. He's working until 9 o'clock at night. So those are the perils and pitfalls of having a part-time job.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we've kind of been throwing around ideas on what we want to talk about tonight. And, you know, when you bring up Bobby's scheduling thing, maybe it's just how do we deal with the schedule changes that are more or less thrust upon us at the spur of a moment? How often is it okay to say, no, we can't do something like that? You know, like in Bobby's case, you know, he's working. He really can't afford to say no. Let me rephrase that. It doesn't look good to say no. With me yesterday, something went on with, you know, my family where we got a phone call around 11 o'clock. And had I said, no, I don't want to, then to me, it's not a matter of what it would have cost me. It just would have looked really bad. So we wound up spending most of the day in North Tonawanda, going through various miscellaneous items at my wife's grandmother's house, which still belongs to my mother-in-law and my wife's uncle. It's been vacant, though, for a couple years at this point and still has lots of stuff that needs to be gone through. So we left the house with a couple different like casserole dishes and a camping stainless steel set and a couple other things. But the point I'm getting at is I wasn't really planning on spending 7 or 8 hours outside of my house yesterday going through somebody else's belongings.
I don't like going through my own belongings, so.
I agree with you. I haven't hard enough time keeping my own stuff clean. So it's like, oh, I'm going to wind up with more stuff. What do I do with it? It's stuff I'll probably use at some point. We wound up with a vintage Santa Claus head type thing. You put a something like right out of A Christmas Story, where you have the large 4 or 7 watt light bulb with the old style Christmas bulbs you would put right in the back of it, would light up. So we found that in the attic. I'm like, oh, this is cool. So I picked that up, and my wife and my brother-in-law are looking at me like, why are we going to get that? I'm like, easy. Put a nail in the shed by the front of the house, and there's a nice Santa Claus Christmas ornament that we can light up with all the rest of the lights. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that'll work.
Do you have power out there at that shed?
I run a very long extension cord to the shed.
Okay.
So that's how that works. But it looks nice when it's all said and done. But again, winding up with the stuff is one thing. Spending all that time out there kept me from doing other things that I would have preferred to have been doing.
School stuff? Or you're in between, though, right now?
It's school stuff. I mean, class officially begins the day after this gets recorded. But most of the syllabuses, however, whatever term you want to use, most of the class outlines and schedules and a lot of the assignments, but not all of them, have already been posted on the website that the school uses for all of the assignments and so on. So, no, I wanted to do some reading yesterday. I keep saying I want to do some reading, and then sure enough, I wind up looking at my phone, and next thing I know, 5 minutes turns into 40 minutes. I'm like, oh, great, now I'm tired and I can't read.
Stay off Twitter.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. I shut both you guys up pretty quickly.
Well, the guy was being an idiot, but that's besides the point.
Well,
I was engaging. I was being equal parts idiot. So I'll fully admit to my faults. But yeah, today when I left my house to come over here today, I was in the middle of the beginning of a written assignment that's not due until Tuesday at 11 o'clock at night. And it technically hasn't even been assigned yet. So I'm okay. My goal is to stay at least a couple days ahead in most courses and a week ahead in one specific course.
But it doesn't start until tomorrow, right?
Right. Everything doesn't officially... The countdown clock, the whatever you want to say in terms of like everything being assigned, does not officially begin until tomorrow. But everything in most of the courses is posted, so I can get a head start on the readings and one or two of the assignments. But again, I mean, I was trying to relate the whole scheduling thing. Like, when do you find time to sit down and like say, all right, we're all going to do this tonight. Hey, we're all going to do this tonight. Oh, wait a minute. We have to go over here.
So. And we've talked a little bit about that before, especially with extracurriculars, dance class and stuff, because you have a kid who goes to a college classes in Batavia. Is that happening this year?
It is not for this semester. His courses begin Wednesday. He has one class and one class only, and it's Wednesdays, and it's all online. It's 100% virtual learning for him for this semester. What's really going to be very unique to watch is how are they going to work that out, since his 100% virtual course is public speaking. So,
look at the camera. Don't say a lot of ums.
I don't know what you mean. So, well, I don't know. We'll see.
And then your two little ones both have dance?
They do. And the...
Are they dancing this year?
They are.
Okay. Small classes?
Everybody's got to wear a mask. I'll put it this way. Me going back to school, coinciding with the current state of the world, with everybody needing to wear a mask and so many different things being made virtual and so on and so forth, I don't think that if it were normal that I'd be able to pull off going back to school right now because of the amount of times I'd be away from my house.
Right.
So silver linings, I guess, makes life a little bit easier in terms of logistics and making sure people are where they need to be when they need to be there.
Just wait, because what we have are dancers and sports people and drama, and now we have two 16-year-olds who have jobs. So now you have to fit that into your schedule, because they don't drive yet.
But there is a third car out there.
They don't have a license yet.
Yet, the operative word, yet. It's going to happen.
I am going to make them drive through a Western New York winter before they get their license.
That's a smart move. Are you going to make them drive through a Western New York winter with that car?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, because if you have them drive your wife's car, then they're going to get a false sense of security.
And they're not driving mine at all.
You don't drive yours at all, so why would they drive yours?
I've driven more lately because I've had to pick up from jobs.
But you see where I'm getting at, though. It makes sense for them to drive in the winter with that car rather than drive a four-wheel drive SUV.
Right. And those small cars like that are, for the most part, pretty good. The farthest they're going to go is work, and that's at...
Yeah, it's not like they're going all over the place, exactly. Right.
Even when they get their license,
they're not going to be going all over the place.
Exactly. First of all, they'll have school, and they'll have jobs, and that'll take up a lot of their time, and two of them are sharing it, so...
And based on everything I know about where I'm sitting in this house, it is most likely understood that, oh, cool, we've got a car. In the back of their mind somewhere is like, it's a privilege, and if I screw up, that privilege is going to get taken away real quick.
That's why it's not their car.
This is true.
Gives us a little leeway. Well, one of the problems we've had is we have workers that need to be at work at 6 in the morning or 8 in the morning. It's also fun when I'm back to work right now, so you have to pick up two of them. One has to be at work at 3 o'clock. The other one has to be picked up at 3 o'clock, and I'm working. So someone gets to work real early. And we've had that. And then we've had you walked in on the tail end of a late discombobulated dinner.
Okay.
Where we're a family of six, four of us ate, the fifth one who was here kind of walked around the table a little bit and then disappeared, and the sixth one was coming home late from work because she worked over what she was supposed to work. 2 days in a row now that she's done that. Yesterday I waited for 40 minutes in the parking lot waiting for her to come out.
Did she get an overtime pay on this?
I don't know. I don't care.
I mean, she's having fun, though.
They're making way more money than I did at the same age.
I'm certain that they're making a lot more than I did, too.
They're making as much as I do right now.
That's a sad commentary on the world.
But school starts next week, so those hours will disappear.
What are the rules now? What are the laws? No more than 20 hours?
28.
28?
Right.
Okay, well, I guess when you...
And you can't work before school, and you can't work until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And you can't work past 9 o'clock.
That makes sense. So if you figure, all right, 28... I'm going to do some quick math here. And bear in mind, you nor I do math very well. Or we try to avoid it at all costs. 5 days a week during the week. Is it over a five-day week that you cannot work more than 28 hours, or a seven-day week?
It's a seven-day week.
All right, so...
You can't work more than 5 days straight, though.
All right, so figure... I'm just going to throw some numbers out. Can you work, and you can work, what, a full 8-hour shift on the weekends? Yes, no?
Sure.
All right, so you could do 2 8-hour shifts on a Saturday and a Sunday, and then you can do, so there's 16, and you got to space out 12 hours the rest of the week. Yeah, okay, I can see how that would work.
Right, and then that's if they get that much. They have dance and stuff. Frankly, one of them got their check the other day, and it was for 16 hours, and they brought home over $200 for a week. So, I mean, if they work 16 to 20 hours, they don't need to work any more than that.
I guess when you compare that to my part-time job whenever I get back to it, which would be substitute teaching, it's comparable in a manner of speaking. I mean, 16 hours would be an 8-hour workday.
Right.
So if you consider substitute teaching to be almost an 8-hour workday.
Mm-hmm. What are you making, 75 or 100?
In one district, it's 100. Another district, it's 95.
All right, so they're actually making a little more than you are substituting.
Although this year, I think it might actually be more in my favor, because the school day ends a little bit sooner, and subs don't have to stay for the whole thing. At least I don't believe we do. And this year, I'm not going to complain too much, because I kind of need that extra time to make sure that all the classwork I've got is getting done.
Right.
Especially on Mondays when I actually have to be in person. Tuesdays, I have to be there in person in the mornings.
For your schooling?
For my schooling,
okay.
Yeah. Tuesday afternoons and Wednesday afternoons and Thursday mornings, everything is virtual, and I have to be synchronously looking at somebody on a computer. Otherwise, I only have to be at my school 2 days a week.
What time do you have to be at campus on Monday then?
Monday, I have to be there for a class that begins at 3.
Okay.
So technically speaking, I'm still planning on subbing on Mondays, since the school day ends between 1:30 and 1:50. So as long as I'm on the road by 2 o'clock, I should be all right. Tuesdays, I'm not subbing at all. Thursdays, I'm not subbing at all. Wednesdays, I'll sub because I don't have to worry about driving anymore. And yeah, the only day that might be an issue is I'll see how a Monday full day goes. And if I wind up showing up late to a class, I'm going to be like, you know what? I apologize. I was subbing. And from now on, I'm not going to sub a whole day on Monday, at least for the next couple weeks. I'll just keep it to like a half day.
Right. Yeah, so they make pretty good money. But it's hell on trying to schedule family dinner time, which is one of my wife's big things. Everyone eating dinner together.
I would love for my family to actually get back to that. We've done it in spurts. We did it like for a week at a time a year or so ago. And it's just, what annoys me is everybody's like, well, you always make chicken or you always make this, so don't make something different. Well, this is gross. I'm like, well, you asked me to make something different. I like it. Your mom likes it. Why won't you try it even? Because it looks gross. I'm like, you didn't try it. How about you try it? And then it looks like
the tiniest piece possible.
Oh, even it's like the leaf, the broccoli crowns look like.
Right.
One of those little beads of broccoli crown. They would taste that. Like, I don't like it. I'm like, you didn't even taste it.
I'm picky eater, though, so I can't say anything.
Yeah, you wouldn't eat that. It's green.
Right. What I can't stand, and you have to set your foot down on this sometimes, and we've had to do it regularly, is someone doesn't like something that's being made, so they get up and make their own, then walk into another room to eat it. No. I don't care, even if you're not, if you decide you're not going to eat, fine. You're not going to eat, but you're not going to snack later, and you're sitting at the table while the rest of us eat.
Yeah, I've tried that multiple times, and it just leads to so much yelling, and it ruins dinner. So I guess it's part of the different dynamics in each family that we're illustrating here.
No, the rule is sit down and shut up.
Well, yeah, I've tried that too, and then
because at that point I'm at the end of my patience.
Oh yeah,
and I'm already there today, which is what I'm saying. You're seeing a different side of me from normal.
Yeah, I can remember at one point I told my 6-year-old recently. She wanted breakfast. It was it was mid morning. It was like 9:30-ish, and everybody kind of slept in a little bit. So I said, "All right, what do you want to eat?" And we ran down a list of possibilities, and ultimately I said, okay, I will make you some eggs. And I made her 2 scrambled eggs. Not a big deal. She likes eggs. She ate about the equivalent of a third of one egg and told me she was full. I said, you complained for half an hour about how hungry you were. I just cooked this for you. She goes, well, is this 1 or 2 eggs? I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's the same amount they always make you. It's seasoned the way you want it. Everything is good. Eat up. So she starts complaining. I set some stuff aside on the plate. I'm like, eat this, and you'll be done. So she eats, and I said, you didn't finish everything. But since you didn't finish everything, I do not want to hear you tell me that you are hungry until lunch. Okay. No, I'm serious. If you tell me you're hungry, you're going to go right up to your room. Oh, okay. And I want to say about an hour later, at this point, like 10:30,
I'm hungry.
She's like, I'm hungry. I want fruit snacks. I'm like, no. Well, why? I'm like, if you're really hungry, have a glass of water. I'm not giving you any food, and you're not getting any food. So lunch came around, and when you're fighting with a 6-year-old over food, it's a different battle. But fighting with my 11-year-old and my 14-year-old over food, it's also a different battle. My son will at least try new things, but then again, I have no idea what he's been eating at my in-laws for the past couple months. And my 11-year-old is like, well, I'll make this for myself, or I'll make this for myself. And she actually will trend toward trying more things. My 6-year-old is just like, I don't like that. It's gross. I'm like, you don't even know what it is.
How dedicated are your children to your diet? Because you can't mix the burger and the cheese.
We're not that dedicated. The only thing that, in terms of dedication, is that I do not keep anything made from a pig in the house, unless I occasionally will buy a pepperoni for my wife.
No pork chops at all for anyone?
No. I wouldn't even know how to make them.
You just cook, grill them.
Well, I'm sure. Okay, let me rephrase it. I've never made them.
Okay.
I've never bought them. And we stick to, you know, pretty lean red meat and chicken breast. And when it comes to other stuff like fish, I'll cook myself salmon like once in a blue moon. Otherwise, it's square dead fish, you know, fish sticks and so on.
So you eat cheeseburgers then?
Do I eat cheeseburgers? I make exceptions.
Okay.
I'll explain.
All right.
I will not go to a fast food joint and order a cheeseburger. I will not do it for a couple of reasons. One, I've learned my lesson. At my age, getting a burger from a fast food joint at all ain't going to agree with me. I'll get some sort of chicken something because that's a lot safer.
Depends
to
eat. Fast food place you go to, too. So, like, if you go to Cheeburger, or Five Guys, you're getting a far greater burger.
I'm not considering those fast food. I'm considering Burger King, Wendy's, McDonald's.
Well, I wouldn't eat any of those either.
But if I
like Wendy's bacon double cheeseburgers. Wendy, I know you can't eat the bacon, but.
Right. I mean, Wendy's has a decent burger, but I'm to the point now where, like, if I'm going to have anything from a roadside fast food joint, I'm talking like the big one, then I'll probably trend and look for an Arby's and get a roast beef sandwich or something like that.
You got the meats.
Right. I'm not going to get a burger. I'll get something with chicken instead. Or if they offer a salad, I'll do that. Now, if I'm at a place like Five Guys, I'm getting a burger because I've watched them cook it. I see how fresh the meat is. It's delicious. And I can put my own toppings on it or ask for my own toppings. My son, on the other hand, will order a cheeseburger. Completely plain. The burger and a cheese, and that's that. He will not put on ketchup, mustard, pickles, anything.
That's un-American.
It's not kosher either, but what's the big deal?
What if it's a kosher dill?
Well, then it cancels itself out, I guess. For me, though, if I'm at a restaurant, let's say the diner in Medina, you know, Rudy's, right?
Yep.
If I'm there and I just want something quick and easy, I'm not ordering a cheeseburger, that's what I tell myself. I'm ordering a seasoned hamburger that happens to have mushrooms and Montreal Swiss. If I'm having a burger and there's an option with mushrooms and Swiss, I'm having the option with mushrooms and Swiss. And as far as I'm concerned, the fungus kills the cheese and I'm good.
So now I'm going to throw a wrench in all of this.
Okay.
What is the reasoning behind the ban?
So you're asking a very poorly educated person of his own faith. The best way I can describe it is something about how we're talking meat and dairy.
Okay.
And I think it boils down to, look it up, because whatever I say is going to be so wrong, and when you're going to say something, I'll be like, oh yeah, that's right, but I don't want to say anything and come off completely wrong. As it is, I already come off like a moron not knowing exactly right now anyway, but I'm sure it has something to do with mother and child. I think that's what it boils down to.
Oh yeah, it's cruel. Yep, the mother and child thing.
Okay. I can't explain it better than what the definition would explain it, but that's ultimately what it boils down to.
So now my next question is, so you're raising your kids
We are raising our kids Jewish because I'm the one who's home and can handle all of the religious teachings.
What does that mean for Lent? Because I know your wife is Catholic.
She'll give up certain things.
What about the kids?
They don't care.
Okay. Now I'm going to expand upon that just a little bit. Your brother is
also Jewish. Yep.
And his kids are being raised Catholic?
That is correct, because his wife is the one who is home handling all the religious stuff.
So now the question is, did he convert to Catholicism?
No.
Or is he still Jewish? Does he go to temple or does he go to church?
He doesn't go. He goes wherever his wife tells him to go and wherever the military tells him to go. No, he hasn't converted.
Okay.
And if he did, then he kept it nice and quiet. So I'm going to guess he did not. And as far as I know, I mean, they don't go to church religiously, but the kids are being raised Catholic.
Okay. Like the C&E crew?
Christmas and Easter?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yep.
Okay. Probably. I really couldn't tell you. It's not a conversation that my brother and sister-in-law and I have.
Okay.
Because they do their thing, we do ours.
Now, I'm going to go a step further here.
I'm with you so far. All right. Keep going.
Step further. Speaking of sister-in-law, you had a sister-in-law who was on American Ninja Warrior, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's starting up again with American Ninja Warrior All-Stars.
I don't know if she was in All-Stars or what, but I do know she posted something the other day on Facebook. So I believe I'm allowed to say she's in the upcoming season.
Okay.
Other than that, even if I could say more, I can't because I don't know anything else. All I know is she's in the upcoming season.
And she just had a baby.
Well, the baby is about 10 months old at this point. So she participated only 8.5, 9 months after having a kid.
Well, let me tell you this. She is a hero in my book because my oldest kids are 16 and a half, and I'm still working on getting that baby weight off.
I'm there with you after 14 years. So my wife was pregnant with our first. It took me 7.5 months to realize I need to stop cooking dinner for two because she was sick for the first 7 months.
Holy cow, for 7 months?
Well, 6.5, 7 months.
Wow.
And I was eating dinner for two. So my wife was pregnant with our first, and I put on 30 pounds. I'm still working it off. At least I'm transitioning what was there, and I'm redistributing it. That's what I keep telling people. I keep going on the scale, and I'm not seeing any difference, maybe a pound or so. I've decided, you know what? I've gotten rid of the spare tire in my belly, and I've kind of flattened it out. So now if I poke my abs, it actually makes my finger bend rather than my belly mush, if that makes any sense. I can live with that. So, yeah, she participated in my sister-in-law in Ninja Warrior less than a year after having a kid.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
All I know is she participated. I have zero clue how she did. They're not allowed to tell me anyway, but I have no idea how she did or anything like that. I don't know when it airs. I don't know anything.
Now I'm going even further.
Okay, keep going.
We're way off on a tangent.
That's okay.
Your brother-in-law, her husband, is he into physical fitness? Probably not as much as she is, but he seems like he's a pretty fit guy.
He is. He's run a couple different, are they Ironmans? Were you the biking, the swimming, and the running?
The triathlon things?
Yeah. I think he's done one or two of those.
I was going to do that, but I don't swim.
You've also told me you don't run.
No, I don't run. I do the power chicken walk. That was a big deal in the 80s, man. We saw people walking by the house with their arms flapping while they're walking
real
fast.
It's an Olympic sport.
Is it really?
Yes.
But they're going to take wrestling out.
Power walking is an Olympic sport.
Power walking is an Olympic sport.
You could look it up on YouTube and see power walking as an Olympic sport.
But the IOC wants to take out wrestling. The IOC is full of geniuses.
Aren't they, though? My brother-in-law is he's a pretty fit guy. I think he's done something like the triathlon stuff. I don't know exactly what. He'll go for a run and run like 6 miles and think nothing of it. He spent a lot of money on a bike and he's thinking, I think I want to get this one. And of course, my son is like, that's a lot of money on a bike. I didn't realize how expensive bikes could be. All I've heard is second and third hand information. I've never actually asked my brother-in-law about it because guess what? It's none of my business. Let him
bikes can be very expensive.
Right. So you know what? Let him spend his money how he wants and...
He
makes a good enough living to do what he wants,
right.
So let him do it. Yep. Who am I to criticize?
Right.
It's like, I make very little money. My vices are, oh, look at that, a cool t-shirt that maybe I'll wear someday. Oh, look at that, I'll wear that one too. You know, miscellaneous stuff that at least I'll use, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of money on a bike. I can get mine, you know, ready-made from Walmart and I'll be happy.
Right now you can't.
Not right now. Generally speaking, though.
Right.
Or Target, you know, one of the big boxes. Or somewhere local. I don't know. I'll probably get one eventually.
Well, you live next to the canal. If you just wait till they drain it, sometimes you'll find them at the bottom.
So this is true. You find a lot of things at the bottom of the canal. Somebody once suggested, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, in terms, you've heard of geocaching?
Yes.
Somebody suggested putting a geocache find...
At the bottom of the canal?
At the bottom of the canal while it's drained. So that you can only get it at a certain time of year.
Oh, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Frustrating, but kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, very frustrating.
So can we talk about your other dilemma you have going on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Bring it up. From the basement, bring it up. Right now, we're stuck in the basement.
The basement's a very odd place for a bat to be, by the way.
Yes, we're talking about bats.
Howie has bats in his belfry.
Bats in my basement.
Is this the second one now?
Since we moved in almost 6 years ago, we had two in short order a couple years ago. The one, I was in Batavia for Black Friday shopping on Thanksgiving night because I was like that. And I got a phone call from my wife who said, when are you coming home? And I'd only just gotten there. I said, I don't know, half hour, 40 minutes, and I'll be on the road. Why? It wasn't even a phone call. It was a text. She goes, you need to come home now. There's a bat. I'm like, well, what am I going to do about it? So I finished shopping quickly. I got in line, got what I needed. Let me phrase that. Got what I wanted and left to come home. Now, you've been in my house in the upstairs living room area where we have the windows that don't open but face the front of the yard. This bat's flying around and stopped at one of the windowsills. I'm like, well, oh, hello there. So I took a broom and I kind of whacked at it, and then it flew around the room for like 5 minutes. Didn't go downstairs, didn't go anywhere else. I opened up the balcony door, didn't fly out. He's just flying around, flying around, flying around. Next thing I know, he flies into and hits the wall and falls down. I looked over, I'm like, this isn't going to be easy. So I took a Tupperware container, covered it up, put a lid on it, like slide it underneath, walked outside, and away it went. A week or two later, another one came back. This was a different one. I'm positive this was a different one. Flying around, flying around, flying around. Everybody's hunkered down in their room. It flies around and flies downstairs and finds a different doorway to go in and flies into the basement. And next thing I know, I'm like, my basement, I'm walking down the basement like Harry and Marvin Home Alone walking up the stairs like, kid, don't throw another paint can at me. So I'm walking down the basement doing the same type of thing because I don't want the bat flying in my face. I get downstairs to the basement and I'm looking like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And I look, and sure enough, it's all the way on the other side of the basement hanging on the French doors that cover up the furnace room. I'm like, oh, okay. I need him not to move. So I went upstairs real quick, another Tupperware container, and I basically went in slow motion, slower than slow motion, super slow motion. And the same thing. I was able to go whoosh, and cover it up with a Tupperware container, slide something underneath, and take it outside. We didn't have another one again until about 2 or 3 years later. He landed the same place on the French doors. Same thing worked. I got him outside. And then we had one about a week ago. And my wife believes, and the guy who came to the house today believes, that the one we had flying around the last 2 days that I couldn't catch is likely the same one that I let go a couple days ago or a week ago. So the guy who came today, really nice guy. He's one of those wildlife recapture folks. The fact that he didn't...
Did he say, crikey, that's a bat?
I was hoping for either that or when I opened up the door this morning when he rang the bell.
Will Arnett. I am Batman.
I would have been happy with anybody, any version of I'm Batman. It would have been great, but we didn't get that. So he looked around the house and he's like, I don't see anywhere here, here, and here, because he was looking for evidence of bat. I go, can you tell me what you're looking for? He's basically looking for bat poop.
Right, guano.
Yeah, the great white bat has great white guano, yeah. But I'm like, I even asked him, I go, what color type of guano are we looking for here? And he said, oh, just, you know, brown, black. I said, okay. Didn't find any evidence of it on the siding. Like, there's nowhere in the soffits or anywhere else. He's like, do you mind if I get a ladder up there or there? And I'm like, well, I've already got a ladder in that room, so why don't we just take it outside and we can go up and look? So we took a ladder from our upstairs living room to that area of the roof, and he found a spot where there was actually some evidence of them getting into the house. So he sealed that up, saw two other spots where they might have been getting in, and he saw maybe some evidence of them getting in. So what he did was he sealed up those two spots so they could not get in or out, sealed up the one spot where they were definitely getting in, put a, he called it an excluder, which is a one-way door where they can only get out, but they cannot get in, and said he'll be back in 2 weeks to take that door out and fully seal that area up, and then he's going to throw a bat box up on one of the holes, one of the poles.
But didn't I tell you?
You mentioned the bat box thing earlier, yeah, but I'm just happy that at this point in time, the one that I couldn't catch the other day, he flew down to the basement, or she. He actually told me he thinks it's probably a juvenile male bat.
Okay.
So I'm going to say he flew down to the basement, and I had left a couple of my drop ceiling tiles not properly seated, so he was in the ceiling. And my cats were on the floor looking at the ceiling, going, looking like a tennis ball, watching. And so what I did was I put all the tiles back the way they should be. And the
was he trapped above it then?
Yes. So the likelihood is he's either going to not make it.
You'll smell him in about 2 weeks.
Right. Or he'll go and find a way to crawl up within the walls and ultimately get into the space where he came in and then fly out of the house. So that's what is hopefully going to happen, or, you know, he expires.
I told you, a bat house, man, it's really good. They work. And they'll stay in your yard, which is not a bad thing because they eat mosquitoes and other bugs that you don't want around the house.
Right. He was the guy who was here today, or my house today, explained, well, I could put one over there. I could put one over there. How far down can I put? Are there wires? Are there this? Are there that? And then when we went outside, we were looking around because we were looking in the backyard, seeing where it would go. And there's a strip of land that used to belong to a restaurant across the street, the old Apple Grove. So there's a telephone pole right there that has like a box on it and everything. And what we decided was that has to be like a private pole. It has to be a private pole. There's like a light on it, some other things. There was a meter on it at one point. So it belongs to me, as far as I'm concerned, because we own that property.
Okay.
So he's just going to scale that pole a little bit and put a bat box on that pole. Simple one, two, three. And there you go.
We've had one bat in this house. It was a crazy story, actually. We went to see a concert with my brother-in-law and my sister at Darien Lake. We came back, and my wife had to drive because both my brother-in-law and I had imbibed quite heavily. We get home, and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And Wendy and I laid down in bed, and as I'm turning off the light, I see something on the corner of my eye, and you know what? The room's spinning a little bit, so...
You're never quite sure.
So, you know, I turn off the light, and within seconds, I hear this smack. And then I go, what the heck was that? And then I hear this scratching. And I'm like, there is something in this room. So I flick the light on, and I look towards where I think that there's the sound is coming from, and we have a clothes hamper. The bat had flown into the wall and dropped into the clothes hamper. So I turn the light on, and all I can see is this little arm reaching up out of the clothes camper, but it must have stunned itself so it couldn't fly, and it was like trying to crawl out, but it's a smooth-sided laundry basket,
it's
so
difficult.
It's not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
So my wife calls my sister, and she comes over, and Newt comes over, and Scott and I decide that we're going to open up the door that goes out to our balcony, and we're going to throw a blanket over the clothes hamper and throw it out the door. Two drunken idiots trying to figure out how to take a bat out of the house. Meanwhile, my wife and my sister have the door to the bedroom cracked open just enough so they could see, and they're giggling at us because we're pretty kind of dumb. We get it out there, and we're like, whoo, job well done. And then we went to bed. I get up the next morning, and I snuck out onto the balcony, and I'm, you know, I got a broom because I don't want to touch it, and I flicked the blanket away that we had used to cover it, and there's nothing in there. So apparently it had gotten out. Great, we have no bat. That's the only bat we've had in this house. A week later, we went to another concert with my brother-in-law and my sister. They lived right across the street from us. Mm-hmm. We get home. We get a phone call. There's a bat in our house. So 1 week later, same circumstances, different house right across the street. And they're going, it's in the heating ducts. I'm like, how the hell can it be in the heating ducts? I walk into their dining room, and the heating duct is on the wall. It's not one of the floor registers, but it's all I can see is out of the one of the holes is this black arm reaching around, and I see the wings flapping, and I'm like, I have no idea how you're gonna get that thing out of there. Turn the furnace on. Well, it's July, but we turn the furnace on, and knock on wood, we never had another bat here or there.
I almost caught the one the other night. He was flying around. He wound up flying around in my kitchen, and I'm watching, like, land, so I know where to go and catch you. And the way the kitchen cabinets are organized in my kitchen, it's very similar from where I'm sitting. I'm looking at your kitchen. You know the one that's in the corner, the cabinet in the corner?
Yep.
Now, your cabinet, it meets up with the ceiling above it, and the ceiling goes straight up. Mm-hmm. With me, in my kitchen, for whatever reason, the wall that the cabinet meets up with, it doesn't go flush straight up. It stops at the wooden molding for the cabinetry, and the wall still goes back and forms an L.
Our wall actually does that, but with the drop ceiling in there, which is going to come out when we redo our our kitchen, there's an actual, like, a shelf soffit rather than the regular soffit.
And that's what happened. He landed in the corner, hit the wall, and then crawled underneath the wall above the cabinetry.
Oh.
I'm like, I can't get you out. This is ridiculous. So I wound up going to bed at like 3 a.m. the other night because I was hoping for him to come out. And he came out once or twice. At one point, about 2 o'clock, I'm laying down on my daughter's bed because she was hiding in my room, sleeping with my wife, and I shut the door. I'm like, you know what? I've had it. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. So I thought I shut the door all the way. Apparently, I did not, because at about 2:30, I hear a thud against the door. I, like, open my eyes, and the bat's flying around the bedroom and then flies out the room and goes back down. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So he must have gotten out. They're annoyances. Ultimately, they're annoyances. And I'm going to, since I'm the one who's been dealing with it, I've been the Batman in my family, I'm going to purposely make fun of my wife.
Good luck with that.
It's a story that we have told, or that she has told, a couple different times. 17 years ago this month, no, I'm sorry, 19 years ago this month is when my wife and I first met. So it was August of 2001, my senior year at Syracuse, her junior year. I'm an RA in one building. There's a common main desk, and then there's a second building. So I'm in one building. She's in the other building. And early on, during RAs being there and decorating their floors for the incoming students, apparently everybody started hearing all this screaming and stuff going on. My wife had thrown something away and gone into the trash room that was on her floors, on her floor. And she reached down to pick up what she thought was a rotten banana peel to throw away.
It was not.
It moved. She threw it, ran away, and was screaming. And she was not happy with the result because they wound up having to say, well, you need to be given the course of treatment for coming into exposure with a bat. I won't go further than that because she doesn't like that part, but she was not happy.
I'm kind of surprised, actually, considering I know where she grew up, and it's a pretty country-ish area. You think you'd get bats. I live in the city, and we get bats here.
She's not a fan of bats, and again, this was a rotten, what she thought was a rotten banana peel on the ground.
I'd be less likely to touch a rotten banana peel.
The fact that, for whatever it was, I mean, the bottom line is, you wouldn't expect one to be right there on the ground. So I can see where the mistake would happen, but it's one of those things where it's just like she doesn't want to deal with them anymore.
And that treatment's ugly.
Yeah. She did not like it.
It's very ugly.
She'll tell you all about it. And
I don't want to hear about it.
And she'll use multiple expletives that I've probably never heard before.
Now, see, we're talking about one bat at a time, maybe two at our houses. Both my grandmothers, my goodness, they were crazy bats in their belfry, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because my one grandmother, when my aunt and uncle took over the house, they decided to redo the upstairs. My grandmother always had bats in the house. So they ripped out some walls, ripped down the old ceiling, and refinished it because it had burned at one point. So they just kind of slapped drywall over top of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had counted, I'm not exaggerating, in excess of 60 bats.
Wow.
In that room upstairs. My other grandmother's house, after she passed away and my uncle was going through the house with my mom and dad and my aunt, they said, like it was in the 20s or 30s of bats they found in my grandmother's attic. You go upstairs and there's a group of them hanging upside down by the chimney. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going back up there.
Yeah.
We do not have that problem here.
Now, bats are annoying because they're so difficult to catch. Occasionally we'll get a mouse. I don't mind.
You have cats though, so that's pretty much all taken care of then.
It's not so much that they kill the mice, it's that they will corner them for me and then I'll take care of the mouse. You know, so.
We have not had a mouse in our house. We have an old house, so we do get mice once in a while. We had new insulation and new windows put in 2014. When they did that, they sealed the sill and they went through and sealed wherever there could have been air gaps and all that stuff in the foundation. Since then, knock on wood, we have had no issues with any mice.
Nice.
or anything like that. But we do have cats. And they pretty much all prowl anyway. So typically when you have a cat, you're not going to get mice.
Mm-hmm.
Typically. Doesn't always work out that way. Obviously, you have
four. And they just play with it.
And we did have a squirrel in our basement, 6 or 7 years ago. And the squirrel was smarter than your average squirrel. Because I put a live trap down there in the basement, try to catch it. It would get the stuff out of the trap, spring the trap, but not be in the trap.
Nice. Very nice.
And I could not catch this mouse, this squirrel, for anything. And my wife doesn't want to use poison and stuff on it. Well, I was fed up, so I went and got poison. And in fact, it was right before we did the insulation and stuff. Because we went down there to start on the sill and stuff to put the spray in and seal the sill, and we found the carcass then.
Of course you would. Yeah, I'm going to completely change topics for a moment before we wrap things up. And you know, this is a dad's cast, and frequently we will mention pop culture things, and we are recording this just a day or two after the news broke of the passing of Chadwick Boseman. And I think that I'm going to try to relate this to dadding, if you will, but if you look at the roles he played and the power behind each of the roles, some of the, like, Thurgood Marshall, Jackie Robinson, Black Panther, some of those roles, I think the fact that he left
Didn't
behind...
Did he play James Brown also?
James Brown. In fact, one of his first main movie roles was as Floyd Little in the movie about Ernie Davis. So I'm just bringing this up because for a whole generation of young people who are looking to see how they can make a difference through looking at powerful figures in history and what they could do to make a difference, I don't care who you are, that's a guy to look up to. And I think in about 10, 15 years, we're going to see somebody playing Boseman in a movie.
Maybe not even that long.
Right. So I just wanted to recognize the fact that this was somebody gone too soon, and he gave us movies over the last 4 years while he was battling colon cancer.
And he didn't tell anyone.
Whoever his circle of friends is, there's where I'm going to make the connection. I'm imagining there's a lot of dads or other people listening to this. At least I hope so. I hope that the biggest takeaway from, aside from the legacy Bozeman left, is that he found a group of extraordinarily trustworthy friends. And I think that is what we should all hope for our kids, is to find a circle who loves and respects each of us that much so that we know we can trust them with, you know, the deepest, darkest type of things that go on. I think that's, whoever those people are, they're in the next level.
And I think we try to do that for George, too.
Yeah.
Like, when George first got sick, he was Mr. Hockey, man. He loved the Lockport Express, and he loved that arena, and he loved the team, and all those guys. And we surprised him by bringing the bus to pick him up for George's special day. And then when he couldn't shovel out his driveway, Dave got two of the Express players to go out and shovel his driveway for him.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, so I think you see where I'm trying to go with
exactly.
this, which is basically, you know, maybe...
We all wish we had friends like that.
We all wish we have friends like
that. Great support group.
It's a great support group. And two, you know, as parents... Speaking straight, if you want to relate it to what an actor does, all right, everybody looks up at the role models who are in Hollywood and so on and so forth, and they leave a legacy behind. As parents, we hope just simply that we leave a similar legacy behind where our kids look at us with as much admiration. I think you see where I'm trying to get with this. I'm just not being as articulate as I want to be.
And along those same lines, we lost Cliff Robinson from the NBA, who was born in Buffalo, raised in Buffalo, graduated from Riverside, another excellent role model for kids, became a professional athlete but never left the small town of Buffalo. I mean, you could say it's a city, but really, Buffalo is a small community.
It's a big-time city with a small-town vibe.
Right.
Is what it is.
He never left that behind. He was always welcomed when he came back. He always wanted to come back and be a positive influence. So for Chadwick Boseman and Cliff Robinson, these are role models that we should all look up to.
Right. Those are people who right now deserve all the press they're getting.
Exactly.
Put it that way.
Yep.
So, all right. So on that note, on that somber note, but yet bittersweet, we'll call it bittersweet. How about that?
Right.
Well, I think that's a good spot to end for the week.
We won't hear you for a couple of weeks.
I will very likely be back in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Things can change, but I'm not anticipating being back for at least 2 weeks.
All right.
So
for Howie and Craig, you've been listening to the Dads Must Be Crazy. Join us again next week. Good night. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.